How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Y'all ready for Christmas tomorrow? How many of y'all haven't finished your shopping? We'll pray for you. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. And your lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for another Christmas. Thank you for this being such an amazing, amazing holiday season and Christmas day. Every year. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife and I went to a surprise birthday party sometime in the last 10 days. I don't remember if it was this week or last week. So we went to this birthday party, and the whole time I kept nudging my wife how amazing this party was because this woman put it on for her husband. So I kept nudging my wife going, you see what this girl doing for her husband? They had hors d'oeuvres. They had dinner. It was like 200 people. They had videos of people saying happy birthday to this guy from all over the country that he knew. It was just hooked up. You know, everything was people serving people. It was just, I was like, what is that? They got hors d'oeuvres and dinner, turkey, ham, videos. So this girl must love her husband. That's what I'm talking about. You need to step up, girlfriend. So we're driving up, and it was in a restaurant on Broadway, downtown. And on the outside of the restaurant, they had these marquees, these like lit up screens with his picture on them. Like, look at that. How'd they get that done? I mean, like 5 foot by, I don't know how big, I'm just guessing, but it was like up in the building. So it was like 5 feet wide, just a head, you know, just pictures of him. If you drove by and didn't know, you knew him, but you didn't know what was going on, you'd be like, why? What's the reason that his picture's up there? Well, it was his birthday. That was the reason. So today our theme is reasons. Our title's message is reasons. And it's reason. What is the reason that we're celebrating Christ's birthday? What is the reason it's a big deal? There are three reasons we're going to look at. There's probably 1,000. Actually, there's one key, but we're going to look at 3 today. Because it's very important for us to understand as people start saying happy holiday, they don't say Jesus anymore or Christmas, or starting to get away from that. It is critical for us to know and to inform people why this is important to not forget that this is about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Number one in your notes, Jesus Christ came to fulfill promises and prophecies to Israel for a Messiah. Jesus Christ came to fulfill a promises, plural, and prophecies, plural, about a Messiah that he made to Israel. Now, if you think of Islam or Muslims, you think of Buddhism, you think of Mormonism, many of these religions always started, religions and cults, by the way, are usually centered around a human who had some experience in their life that they say they were enlightened. Muhammad saw an angel in a cave. Mormons, Joseph Smith had some revelation in the mountains of New York. Buddha had this experience and, you know, he wanted to overcome pain and suffering in life and came up with this whole philosophy. And these people were regular people, sinners like you and me, and something happened to them. And they all of a sudden said, now I'm going to tell people about God, my version about God. I had a revelation. That's not how it was with Christ. Even though some people think Christ was the most enlightened man, that he was a guy just like you and me, and all of a sudden he had an experience with God, and he was the most enlightened, and so that's why he's a religious role model. That's not true. Christ's life, his death, his birth, where he was born, how he would die, how he would live, all the facts about his life were predetermined in the Bible. In the Old Testament, they talked about it. That's what all the prophecies are about. The prophecies were all God saying, he is who your Messiah is going to be. He is what he's going to say. He is where he's going to live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it was already set up that someone would come to fulfill all these requirements. So it wasn't like some guy just came along and said, hey, I figured it out. Come follow me. As soon as he came on the scene, he was fulfilling promises and prophecies God had already laid down, over 300 of them. So it's very critical for us to understand. And number one, it says in your notes, says that one, he was the son of Abraham. Everyone say Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, the Bible tells us that Abraham was told by God to leave his father's country, his father's land, and go to a place that he did not know, that God was not going to show him. And Abraham's walking, going, where are we going? He said, I'm not going to tell you until we get there. How many of y'all want God to give you more information about your life? It ain't going to happen. Forget about it. He's going to make you walk in the dark, trying to think, okay, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. And so Abraham left his land and went to a place, and God told him, I'm going to make you a great nation, and out of you, out of your seed, is going to come someone who's going to bless the whole world. That's Jesus. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Matthew. Matthew says, the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The reason these genealogies, how many of y'all read genealogies before? You're like, man, I don't feel like reading all those names. It's kind of boring. Anybody? And you're like, what's the point? Very critical. Everything in the Bible is so important. Matter of fact, if anything's in the Bible and you wonder why it's there, if you do a little studying, you'll find out it's really, really there for a very good reason. One, genealogies connect people. So you know that Adam was the first man, and they go all the way through, all the way up to Jesus. So you know that there's a real history and timeline to the Bible, and there's a real history and timeline to mankind. So God, in other sense, is saying, I want you to keep track of this because I'm giving you a timeline and I'm giving you evidence that all this stuff really happened and all these people are really connected. But number two, especially in Jesus' genealogy right here, this whole book of Matthew was written to Jewish people to prove that Christ was the Messiah of the Old Testament. This genealogy proves he was the son of Abraham. It was prophesied about Abraham's seed. We're going to see in a minute. It was also proven that he was the son of David. One of the names for the Messiah is son of David. But one of the other things you read when you read a genealogy of Christ, that if you looked at all those names and looked in the Bible to find out who those people were, you'll find that in Jesus' family, he had adulterers, murderers, incest, prostitutes, orphans, idolaters, worshipers of false gods, all in his family. He's got a jacked up family just like you and me. It's important to understand. Again, a regular guy, with a regular family, a regular drama. And we're going to see in a few minutes, his mama had big time drama. We'll see that in a minute. Number two, in your notes, Jesus was the son of David. He was the son of David. King David killed Goliath when he was a teenager, became king, wanted to build God a temple. God said, you're not going to build me a temple, but from your seed, I will call a son, and he will sit on my throne forever. Forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 14. Let me read chapter 1 of Matthew. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. So what Matthew's here is establishing that, yes, this is the son of David, just like the Old Testament said. Yes, this is the son of David, Abraham, just like the Old Testament said. Let us see that he would be born in Bethlehem. Everyone say Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Say Bethlehem. Don't spit on anybody, just Lahem. Bet is house in Hebrew. Lahem is bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 in the Old Testament says that out of Bethlehem, God would call his ruler. Out of Bethlehem. Where did Jesus born? Look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod king, behold, wise men from the east came from Jerusalem. So we know that he was born in Bethlehem just like the Old Testament said he would. We know he's the son of Abraham just like the Old Testament said he would be. We know he's the son of David, a descendant of David as well, just like the Old Testament said he would be. Look at number, the letter D. He was born of a virgin, just like the Old Testament said. He was born of a virgin. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Come on now, girlfriend. I can't tell you how many teenage girls in my years, especially youth ministry, where girls would be pregnant and say, I don't know how it happened. Oh, no, we know how it happened. This girl right here, it was God. Now, we have a whole lot of history with Mary being pregnant by the Holy Spirit. We've been told that since we were kids. We kind of accept it. But let's put us back in the first century. That's never happened before. And getting pregnant as a teenager wasn't like it is today, as commonplace then. This was a big deal. And this girl was probably a teenager. Why would God put on that girl all that pressure? Think about how much ridicule she got all her life. I mean, think about it. Would you believe in any day and age that some woman said, God got me pregnant and she never had intimate relation with a man? Would you believe that? Yes or no? Okay, thank you. You just said it. Of course you wouldn't. Would you believe it after he was born? No. Her whole life until Jesus was 30 years old and started his ministry, there's probably people like, I wonder where that baby really came from. Her whole life. We assume because we know. We knew it all our life. We just accepted it. But if you lived then and all the people around her then, imagine all the stuff she had to deal with. God may have you go through some stuff you don't think is fair. Life's not fair. God always blesses you more than fair. For some reason, God had to go through that. But look what it says in verse 18 or 19. Joseph and her husband, was being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and again, this is Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So it was prophesied that he'd be son of Abraham, prophesied he'd be a son of David, prophesied he'd come from Bethlehem, prophesied that he would be born of a virgin, and there's a whole lot more. We're just going to look at five right now. And the last one, it was prophesied that he would be called out of Egypt. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay there till I bring word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So they flee to Egypt. Verse 19. And when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, to Joseph in a dream in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child are dead. Three times God spoke to Joseph in a dream. Three times Joseph had to be confident that what he was hearing in that dream was from God. But God in the Old Testament said, listen, you're going to be born of a Bethlehem. You're going to be born of a virgin. You're going to be son of Abraham, son of David. And I'm going to call you out of Egypt. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 says, I called my son out of Egypt. And so Christ came to fulfill a promises of a Messiah, and in detail, the details surrounded that Messiah. He came to fulfill all that so there'd be no question. Do you know that God has your life designed to the detail? If you let him implement his plan. My wife has Graves' disease, and we were at the doctor the other day, the eye doctor. And we were sitting in the room waiting, and six doctors walk in. Because they go in a pack in this office. And they study, because one doctor does the orbit of the eye. Another doctor does the eye itself. Another doctor does the muscle. They all do different parts of the eye. It's so complicated. And then some other doctors in training. So there was like six people in the room. And I had my pad and paper because, I'm going to ask me some questions. So I'm sitting there, they're looking at her eye, looking at pictures from last time she was there, blah, 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 blah. And I start firing my questions. I said, Doc, you know how we have a fingerprint and I heard that your eye is a more accurate identification tool than your fingerprint. He said, that's right. I said, what is it about your eye that is unique to you like a fingerprint? He says, your vein pattern in your eye is one of a kind. Every single one of your vein patterns in your eye is one of a kind. And by the way, you also have a one of a kind vein pattern in your hand. Designed just for you. Your footprint, your handprint, your whole hand, your thumb, your vein pattern. And there's a lot more that I don't know about. But your vein pattern. Then he said your iris, the little dark thing right in front of your eye, that is a three-dimensional piece of your eye. And it has contours and three-dimensional shape. And that three-dimensional shape of your iris is one of a kind. One of a kind. That God designed you to the detail. That he didn't just make a human and just cookie cut the person out. He said, no, I'm going to design every single person unique. And there is no mistake. Every zebra has a different stripe. Every tiger has a different stripe pattern. Every leopard has a different spot pattern. That every single one of you has a different vein pattern in your eye, vein pattern in your hand, fingerprint pattern on your thumb and your hand and your foot. And your iris is a 3D shape unique to you. If God is so detailed in the Messiah, so detailed in your physical body, imagine how detailed he is in your life. Imagine that even right now you may feel like your life's off because you're not on point with what God wants. He has a perfect plan for you, just for you. You're not just one of a sea of people. He is tracking you as an individual. The question is, do you want that? I was standing and I was talking to this doctor and I'm asking these questions. Then he says to me, after I start asking my question, he says, you know what? This ain't about you. This is about her. We need to get back to her. I was like, dag, dude, I'm paying. Can I get a couple questions? So I was like, all right, I'll be quiet. He just like jumped in my grill like that, like that. I was like, this brother must be from New York. So I said, are you from New York? And you know what he said? He said, yeah. And then he said, so are you. We happen to grow up 10 minutes from each other and graduate high school the same year. So then we started talking about the New York Jets. And he was telling me about his jet tickets and all stuff. I said, hey, man, this ain't about you. It's about my wife. Let's get back to my wife. Actually, I didn't say it to him. I wanted to. I was like, you know, you want to talk about your jet tickets? I'm talking about my eyes. You know what I'm saying? I was the one paying for the appointment. So I ain't one to gossip, but he was actually a nice guy. We had a great conversation. Number two in your notes. Number two, Jesus also came to bear witness of the kingdom. He came to bear witness of the kingdom. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse 22. It says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. His name represented that God came from heaven to earth. In my small group, we have three of the guys that are there. Their families are from different countries. One guy's family's from Haiti, another guy's family's from Nigeria, another guy's family's from Cameroon. So we were talking the other day about this. I said, tell me how people are in your country different from here. Food, customs, culture. Now, if you ever been to Africa, different parts of Africa, people are very different, just like in America. And I've never been to Nigeria, but I've been to Uganda and Kenya. East Africa. People are different from West Africa. And my buddy is from West Africa. And in East Africa, the people are a little more quiet. I don't want to say humble like the other people aren't, but they're more servant orientated. When you meet them, they're very, very quiet. And subservient, I should say. Very servant oriented. Matter of fact, when I was in Uganda, I had asked a group of reporters, did they have prisons? Because everybody was so nice. I mean, we even met the president's wife. And she was just the sweetest, you know, very nice, very, everyone's, there was no do this for me type people. And matter of fact, there's a guy there, the president's brother, who is like their Rambo, Colin Powell type dude that actually fought in wars. They 25 guys fought and challenged the government of Idi Amin. They were in the jungle for 5 years, 25 guys. They couldn't get them. These dudes were bad. Well, the general was one of those guys, and I was going there, and I was at the airport and got a message that he wanted me to come see him. I was like, tell me about this dude again. Dude, that scars all over his body, killed all these people. and he's the president's brother. He's like the big time general. This guy was so nice walking down. I'm sitting in his house. I'm like, then I hear him walking down the hall, whistling. I'm like, oh, God, I'm good. I'm good. And the dude is like, we were born the same year, like 90 days. Our lives were so similar. Both had thyroid surgery, all this stuff. And I was sitting there like I was talking to one of my friends. Now, that was Uganda. My friend from Nigeria, he says, if you call somebody and say, call somebody by their name, hey, Jim, they don't turn and say yes. They yell at you. And they hit their chest like, hey, what? That's what they do. Now, they don't do that here. That's a whole different culture. The other guy from Haiti has a whole different culture. Christ came from heaven to tell us we do things a little different up there than y'all do down here. Down here, rich to you is hoarding. Spiritual riches up here is giving. Christ, look at it says in your notes. He says he came to teach us kingdom principles. The Sermon on the Mount, he came to teach all these kingdom principles. If you want to be rich, you be poor. If you want to be strong, you be weak. If you want to be smart, be dumb. What does that mean? Is that you surrender everything you have so God can give you all his riches, his strength, his wisdom, his power. So he came to teach kingdom principles. We have these two Miss America, one Miss America, Miss Nevada issues on TV. I don't know if y'all seen that. Miss America got caught doing her thing. And Miss Nevada got caught doing her thing. Actually, her thing was from when she was a teenager. And Miss Nevada, she did some stuff when she was, I think, 17. Some sexual stuff, blah, 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 blah. And she was on TV giving a statement. I guess she was supposed to be apologizing. I didn't see the whole statement. But here's what I saw. She said, I have a message to all of you young girls. Be careful who you let take your picture. Because you never know how they're going to use your picture. Now, she might have said in another part of her statement that she was wrong to do what she did. I didn't hear that. And I'm not saying she didn't say that. But even if she did say that, the other side of what she's saying is don't get caught. At least that's what I heard. God's kingdom principle is you're caught before you even do it. Because I judge you by the intent of your heart. Kingdom principle. So God taught all this. He came to teach his kingdom principle. And then every single one of us is a sinner, guilty before you get caught. And matter of fact, if you listen very closely and watch very closely, I mean, you don't even need to watch it very closely. Y'all notice when you see people on TV who are politicians and are athletes or celebrities get caught doing something. If you watch and listen very closely, it's all about why they got caught. It's not about, it's not so much I was wrong so many times. It's about how did I get caught? And how do I explain and try to weasel my way out of this? Now, instead of saying, you know what? I was just flat out wrong. And God looks at every single one of us and says, listen, I already know what you're doing and have already convicted you as guilty when you thought about it. He says, listen, commit adultery is not, you commit adultery not when you do it, but when you think about it. You commit murder not when you do it, but when you think about it. That's a kingdom principle. It's not a man principle. God came to teach the kingdom principle. Let it be. He came to display kingdom power. He came to display kingdom power. Jesus spit on the ground. Made mud with a spit in the dirt. Put the mud in someone's eyes and they got their sight. They were blind. Jesus spit on the guy's tongue. He was mute. He spoke. Now don't go be spitting on people because you may end up being blinded. Jesus put his hands on a little girl's ears. He healed her. A man's ears healed him. Jesus raised a dead girl, a dead young man, a dead grown man. Jesus walked on water. He spoke to demons. They cast out people. He healed a woman who was bleeding for 12 years because she touched his clothes. He spoke to the weather. And the weather stopped. The storm stopped. He died and rose from the dead. He says, I'm going to show you, I'm not only going to teach you kingdom principles for living, I'm going to show you kingdom power because none of y'all can do that stuff. None of y'all. And lastly, he said, he came to give us hope of the kingdom to come. He came to give us hope. Tonight, As soon as your kids, about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, all those little kids are going to go to bed, and they're going to be like this. They're going to try to make themselves go to sleep. Y'all remember those days? You remember, y'all see the commercial with the kid with the package, and he's screaming at the package? Y'all remember those days? All these little kids tonight, they're going to go to bed, they're going to be like this. And Mario, go to sleep. Santa's going to come. Okay. Lying to your kids like that. Okay. And they're going to try to make themselves go to sleep. And they're going to wake up about 1 o'clock in the morning. And they're going to come wake you up and say, it's the time. You're going to go back to sleep. But they're going to be, because they're so excited. They have an anticipated desire. The definition of hope is an anticipated desire. Christ in us is our anticipated desire of glory. Christ in us is the hope of glory, the Bible says. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, He forgives you of your sin, fills you with His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit seals you, the deposit, a guarantee for your salvation. The Holy Spirit illuminates truth to you. The Holy Spirit guides you in truth and helps you understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit prays on your behalf with grumblings that cannot be uttered by you. The Holy Spirit does all this stuff for you on your behalf in anticipation that when you die, you will go to heaven. When I was growing up, I had one cousin who was my age, guy cousin that I got to hang out with. He was 1 year older than me. When he was about 40 years old, he had 10 kids. Christian guy. He knew how it was happening. He knew what was going on. I mean, he was having his, and many of those kids they had in the house. They just knew how to do it. I mean, it's like birth. We do births, babies all the time. So they just birthed their own babies. 10 kids. He died last year. He was 47 years old. And I went to the funeral. There he was laying in the coffin, but that was not him. It was his body, but it wasn't him. But we all know where he was. His wife, strong as a rock, loved God. They knew where he was. She didn't shed a tear. I couldn't believe it. She was encouraging everybody else, serving everybody else food. She was like, I mean, of course she loved him, but she was like, you know what? I have hope too. I know where he's at, and I know I'm going to see him. But Christ in us is the hope of glory. So he came not only to teach us kingdom principles, show us kingdom power, but he came to give us hope. Without Christ in your life, you have no hope. How are you going to forgive your own sin? You can't. How are you going to cleanse yourself of your own sin? You can't. How are you going to earn your way into heaven? You can't. Christ came to give us that way. That's why this Christmas season and the whole birth of Christ is critical to us, because without him, there is no hope. He came to bring hope to the world. And lastly, number three, he came to implement God's plan of salvation. He came to actually implement God's plan of salvation. Ever since the beginning, death has always been the penalty of sin. In Genesis chapter 3, Genesis is the first book of the Bible, third chapter of the whole Bible, Adam and Eve sin. And what does God do? He kills an animal, covers them with animal skin. He sheds blood. He establishes from the very beginning that bloodshed must happen for sins to be forgiven. And all through the whole Old Testament, God continued to reaffirm that bloodshed must happen for sins to be forgiven. So then when Jesus came, he was already set up. All I'm coming to do is fulfill what has been taught. He dies on the cross and sheds his sinless blood on our behalf. So Christ came not only to fulfill promises, not only to show us the kingdom, but he came to actually complete God's plan of salvation, that he can offer you and me the perfect plan to be saved. Let it be. Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die. Everyone say born to die. When Jesus was born, three wise men came to him. They brought him three gifts. What was the first one? Say gold. Gold was a sign of royalty. Jesus was a king. What was the second one they gave? Starts with F. Frankincense was given to a priest He was a priest. He was a great high priest. And what was the third one? Okay. I don't want you to say myrrh. I want you to say myrrh. On three, one, two, three. Myrrh. Myrrh was given. One of the uses of myrrh is that they use it to embalm dead people. Jesus was born to die. He was born to die. The whole reason he came was that he would die. And when he died, he was on the cross. His disciples were running. They were dividing his clothes. His critics were mocking him. One thief was mocking him. And you know what he said? It's finished. I did my job. The thief next to him said, "Remember me." He said, "Today you will be in paradise. Today." He was born just for that reason, so he could forgive your sin. Let us see. Jesus was destined to overcome death with the resurrection. He said, just as Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days, so I will be in the belly of the earth 3 days. And you may think, man, a whale can't swallow a person. And how's a person going to survive in a whale? Well, if Jesus survived 3 days after he died, 3 days in a whale ain't no big thing. Jesus says, I'm only going to die for you. I'm going to rise from the dead. And I'll rise from the dead. I'm going to walk around for 40 days. People are going to see me. They're going to touch me. They're going to eat with me. And then I'm going to ascend to heaven in broad daylight. I'm going to do all this in public. So there's no mistake that this thing happened. So all these promises that God wrote in the Bible about the Messiah, Christ came and fulfilled them in his birth, in his life, in his ministry, in his death, in his resurrection. It all fulfilled all those requirements. Matter of fact, in Psalm 22, the crucifixion, his very words at the crucifixion, what they did with his clothes at the crucifixion, how they didn't break his bones at the crucifixion, was all written in Psalm 22. And what was ironic about that? It was written 1,000 years before the crucifixion was even invented. Because God knows everything. The reason we're here today is to say, thank you, God, for being born so you may die, so we may live. Today, Christmas Eve, 2006, is your opportunity to ask Christ for the very gift, the one gift that will never fade. Whatever you get tomorrow, one day will be old. Unless you're going to get some gold teeth or a diamond. Other than that, whatever you get is going to be old. Matter of fact, if you get some gold teeth and a diamond, you're probably going to want to change them out in a few years. Salvation, not only does it not get old, you don't even really realize how amazing it is until after you die. In other words, you get it now and you get to experience it now. I was talking to a lady out there after church. Last service, she said something to me, thank you, whatever, whatever. And I said, I said to her, you know what? I used to do drugs. It was a lady who got saved last service. I was talking to her in the lobby after church last service. And I was shaking her hand. I said, this really works. She was crying. I said, this is real and it really works. I used to do cocaine. Yeah, I did. I was really messed up. I'm not as messed up anymore. Not as messed up. It really works. It really works. Today could be your day that you get this present that changes your life. But you know what, though? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can conceive what God has prepared for us. We're going to see things we've never seen. We're going to hear things we've never seen. I have a theory, and my theories don't mean anything. Right? Thank you. You guys are so kind. But here's my theory. Take it for what it's worth. I believe, and again, this is what I believe for me, that when we go to heaven, that you're going to be able to see sound. Sound is a vibration in the air. I think you're going to be able to see it. Color is a vibration in light, has a frequency. I think you're going to be able to hear color. That's just my opinion. If you ever watched Animal Planet or Discovery Planet, you'll see that animals can do stuff you can't do. Elephants can communicate over 20 miles away through the forest with subsonic sound. Sounds like this. It's true. You can do that. Let me try it. Watch. That's how elephants communicate. That's why they got them big old ears. They can hear stuff. dolphins swim through the water and they can sense magnetic fields in the water. That a shark can smell a drop of blood a mile away in the ocean. That they have these abilities way beyond our capacity. I wonder what our capacity is going to be when we get to heaven. That's just a guess. It doesn't really matter if I'm right or wrong because it's just humans meet till I get there. God said, you're wrong. I'm like, hey, cool. What is it? I don't care. But to me, but I do know this. We will have when Paul was brought up to the third heaven, the Bible says he saw unspeakable things. He couldn't even describe it. What would sound look like? I don't know. What would color sound like? I don't know. But you know what though? It's going to be amazing. The gift of salvation, this is the ghetto version here. Amen? This is ghetto. The planet Earth is God's footstool. It's cursed. When he gives us a new earth, then it's going to be the bomb. But right now, even as beautiful as it is, it's the ghetto version. Section 8. You live in a Section 8 world. See, everyone don't know what Section 8 is. I don't want to ask how many of y'all don't know what it is, but Section 8 is like welfare, okay? You know what I'm saying? Section 8 housing. that's a hard times, brothers. In a minute, we're going to pray. You may say, you know what? I know I'm a sinner, and I want to take advantage of Jesus Christ's gift. You know what? Tomorrow, someone's going to hand you a gift, and you're going to take every single one of them. You don't know what's in it. I'm telling you now, it's going to rust and get old. I'm telling you now, probably a lot of them you ain't going to like, but you'll take it. God is offering you a gift that I guarantee you're going to like. That'll change your life. It gets better with age. And it never, ever, 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 the warranty will never run out. Ever. Ever. Beyond this life. How could you reject that gift? So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that you were born. We thank you so much that you lived. You were tempted. You resisted. You were betrayed, yet you loved. You were beat, yet you never complained. Thank you. Dear God, there are people here today. They don't need what's going to be under their tree. They need you. They need what was in the manger and on the cross. A Savior that is eternal, whose love is unsearchable, whose thoughts are above ours, as high as the heavens are above the earth. If today you realize, yes, I want Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I want him to love me. I want him to forgive me. I want him to cleanse me, empower me, seal me to the day of redemption. Pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, please forgive my sin. Dear God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, I acknowledge Jesus as Christ and Savior. Born of a virgin. And I surrender my life to Jesus today. Thank you. I receive your forgiveness. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you in a minute to stand up. By standing up, you are acknowledging that Christ has forgiven you today. You are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life to him today. So as the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, you prayed that prayer. Just stand to your feet. and acknowledge him. God bless you. Stay standing, please. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stand to your feet and acknowledge Christ's forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God is saying to you this morning, I want to forgive you. I want to love you. Just stand to your feet and acknowledge him. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God is saying, give me a chance. Stand to your feet. Don't turn me down again. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. Very good. God bless you. Now, as we welcome all of you to the family of God, we're going to ask all of y'all to step out of your seat and come down to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen. Amen. Right here. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay right there, sir. Just face me. Here we go. Stay right here. Stay right there. God bless you. Merry Christmas. 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 You're welcome. Merry Christmas. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Who's the man this morning? God bless you. 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 Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Do y'all remember being kids and you got in trouble with your principal or your parents? You had to go to the office. This is the opposite of that. Because his angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. They're so excited what they're going to do in your life. This is a good thing. And God's been waiting all your life, knew this was going to happen today. And he is all ready for you. Has everything, all your problems, he already got the solutions. It ain't going to happen today. As you walk with him every day, he's going to start unfolding his plan. You can't handle it all today, but he will give you exactly what you can handle. Amen. I got three things for y'all. Number one, have a Merry Christmas. Be Jesus this Christmas holiday to your family. Number two, we're going to pray for y'all, and then we're going to have y'all walk out and follow that young man. We're going to take these people into a room right in the lobby to your left. And number three, I'm going to walk out after I pray. I'm going to try to get down this aisle so I can go to the front door and shake y'all's hand and say happy, Merry Christmas to you. So if y'all could let me get through, that'd be great. So have a Merry Christmas. Let's pray for all these people. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for these people. We pray that you bless them. We pray that they would have a great, great Christmas, that they would never, ever be the same ever again. And I pray that we all would represent you righteously this Christmas. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.